This is the Value Investor Podcast with Tracy Reinick. All things value, all the time.
Welcome back, value investors. So the growth stocks continue to be on a rampage with no slowdown in sight for the FANG, the semiconductors, the biotechs. You all know the hot sectors, all those good growth names. And a lot of people in the media are starting to compare this market to the late 1990s dot-com era because it feels a little speculative in some of these areas. But to me, this market more closely resembles an earlier era that most of us probably weren't around for, actually, or weren't investing yet. And that would have been the late 1960s into the early 1970s. So nearly 50 years ago. That time period was also at the end of what I call a secular bull market, just like the late 1990s. So we were coming off of, you know, well over a decade of gains by the end of the 1960s. And growth stocks were all the rage back then, too. But at that time, most of the investors mainly bought into a couple dozen popular large cap stocks. And they were so popular and everyone was buying them that they became known as a group like the FANG, but that's a much smaller group, but they became known as the Nifty 50. And you might have heard that term floating around out there, but it is from the late 1960s into the early 1970s. And the Nifty 50 were considered the blue chip stocks where nothing could go wrong. So investors were willing to pay basically any valuation by this point. Again, similar to what we hear with the FANG, you know, who cares if it's trading at 50 times or 100 times earnings? The growth is so great, I have to be in it. And that's what they were saying in the late 1960s. So as a group, the Nifty 50 routinely traded towards the end of its run, I would say, up into the early 1970s, like 1972, it traded at about 50 times earnings as a group. So some were a little more expensive, some were a little less, but investors had no problem paying 50 times earnings for any of these companies because they assumed that you would always get that growth. And a lot of these companies were on the cutting edge of innovation at the time. And I took a look at the list. There's no real concrete list about what's in the Nifty 50, but there were some common names that everybody was buying that most people agree were in there. And they included a lot of names we know today that are still around today. So it had Dow Chemical, IBM, Baxter, Johnson & Johnson, Disney, Pepsi, McDonald's, which would have been a really young company. It was like barely trading back then. Coke, GE, Schlumberger, 3M, Walmart were big names. Sears was also in there. And then a couple other companies that may or may not be around still today. Schlitz Brewing, remember them? Polaroid, Eastman Kodak, those are some of the names. Xerox, they were considered cutting edge. If you think about like what the Xerox machine was doing in the 1960s into the 1970s, and even, you know, film with Eastman Kodak, these were all big companies. They were making, you know, like video cameras and all that stuff were soon to come into being. So nobody thought, you know, that it was any big deal to pay 50 times earnings for these. Out of that group of stocks, though, you know, they weren't all busts, like a couple that I mentioned. Walmart went on to be one of the best performers of the group. And actually, if you looked at what McDonald's did, you also did quite well for yourself if you bought that in the 1970s, of which I know a couple parents of my friends who bought shares of McDonald's because they started taking their kids there to get that Happy Meal when that was invented. And they're like, man, maybe I should buy this stock. So they did real well paying for some college with that McDonald's investment. But as I said, several of these don't even exist anymore or are just a shadow of their former selves. So yes, at some point, the growth investors did even turn their backs on the Nifty 50. We had a bad bear market in 1972, 73, 74. We hit some new highs in 72, and then it started to plunge down. And then we had a secular bear market up until 1982. So the growth of these companies and those 50 PEs couldn't really be sustained. by the end of that super bear in 1974, valuations actually got really attractive. The entire stock market was cheap. And that was the point where even Warren Buffett was giving interviews saying he was like a kid in the candy store and you could basically be buying almost anything and you were getting it cheap. And, you know, there was some growth there. It was just a great time to be a value investor at that point. But what I'm saying about the Nifty 50 is not that a bear market is imminent right now. I'm just saying that the growth story is mimicking what we heard in the 1960s and 70s. But even back then, it took numerous years for that secular bear to finally come in there and for the growth to kind of fizzle. But you're always having times where some of the growth names are not quite as good as other times. And value investors need to learn some lessons from the Nifty 50 and kind of what happened to investors there while this growth market is kind of raging. So one of the key things I think the Nifty 50 can teach us is that as value investors, we need to have some patience. I think a lot of people, when bull markets are going and growth is dominating, the value investors get impatient and are like, you know, just screw it. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to buy the FANG. I don't care if it's 60 times anymore because everybody's buying it. The stock keeps going up. They have XYZ great story. They have only a billion people on their, you know, social media platform. There's 3 or 4 billion more people they can get. They can make XYZ amount more on advertising. They got some new app that's really going to drive even more growth. It's never going to end. I'm missing out. I'm going to get out. I'm going to get in. So value investors, as I've said many times over the last couple months, you know, patience is key to value investing in these kinds of markets. And right now, actually, some interesting things have been happening with some of the big name growth stocks, not all of them, obviously, but some of them are starting to fizzle. And I know you know some of these names because you'll tweet at me and complain about them. Because it's hard for growth investors to realize that maybe the story is changing and that the fizzle and not the sizzle is now in. So as value investors, you got to be willing to buck the negative sentiment. And a lot of growth stocks that fizzle have negative sentiment around them. That's why they're fizzling, right? Sometimes they'll have an event. We're going to talk about that in a minute when I tell you some of the stocks that are or were growth stocks that are starting to fizzle. And we're going to take a look at them to see if any of them are values now. But a lot of them, or all of them, have some kind of negative sentiment. Because remember, a value stock is a value because Wall Street is basically rejecting it. Investors are turning their backs on it for some reason, whether or not it's a slowdown in the growth story, in sales, revenues, that kind of thing, or there was some event, as I just mentioned. But for some reason, Wall Street has turned its back on this company, and it might be time for value to take a look. So let's discuss some high-flying growth stocks that have now come down off their perches, and we'll see if some of them are cheap or not. A few I've talked about in the past and told you that they were on my watch list, and they still remain on my watch list. But we're kind of in a murky period with some of these in between where they're not really the growth high flyer, glamorous growth stock anymore, but they're maybe not yet quite the value stock either. So they're in that weird in-between stage. But it's definitely worth keeping on the watch list. So the first one is the one I've talked about in the past. We've gone over whether or not it was a value stock a couple months ago. So it's good to check in again. They haven't yet reported earnings, and it is Chipotle. And the ticker is CMG. And as you know, shares are really down in multi-year lows, but they are off those lows again. It's still trading at 43 times. So if you truly are looking for value just through the PE, the classical value methods, Chipotle isn't cheap enough yet. So I continue to check in on this one and watch it. It went briefly under the $300 level, and now it's bounced back up over it. It's definitely out of favor. A lot of the analysts believe they're going to have troubles over the next couple of quarters because of rising labor costs. And we've seen this with a couple of the other restaurant chains already, and they were talking about it over the summer. I don't see those baiting anytime soon as the job market gets tighter, actually, as the economy heats up. It's going to be these restaurant chains that are going to have to pay more to get the employees in there, and that goes right to the bottom line. So that's not a good sign either. So I still want to get it cheaper than 43 times. So Chipotle is one. Keep on your list. A second stock is Ulta. That ticker is ULTA. And the story there is that Amazon is going to doom it. That's what everybody's saying. And the investors who really bid this stock up, and it was trading as high as like over 30 times, it was like 33 times, have decided that it can no longer grow this quickly and Amazon is starting to eat into its business. This is just what they've decided. So the shares are off. They're down 20% year to date. The PE is now 23. So I do like it a little more here at the PE 23. But again, if you are into the actual classical valuations, that's a little bit pricey still for me. So I'm watching this. I actually own this stock in my long-term portfolio, but I bought it several years ago when it was cheaper. I'm watching it to see if maybe I could add more to my position again. And this one remains on my watch list, but it's definitely in the doghouse on Wall Street right now. And then a third stock you might want to keep in mind is Under Armour. Yeah, UAA. This was the high flyer. Thought it could do no wrong. Remember all the teenagers apparently buying it. They were moving in on the women's category pretty strongly. They were a real threat to Nike. Well, the shares are down 43% year to date. They were once trading near $50. Now they're at $16.30 or so, given a little change, 16 and change. But the PE, just like Chipotle, still at 43 times. So even with that decline, it's still trading for pretty high valuations based on its earnings. So I'm keeping this one, again, still on my watch list because I'm not willing to pay 43 times for Under Armour right here. And that's what happens when a growth stock fizzles. Growth investors say, meh, before I used to pay, you know, sure, I'd pay up for what I thought would be continued growth, but if that growth is going to slow, I'm no longer paying the 43 times. So this is one that's still expensive, but the growth is no longer there. So it's in that weird period, that weird place. Then our fourth stock is General Electric. I'm sure you're not surprised this is on the list. The ticker is GE. It's down 26% year to date, but its PE is just 15 now. So yeah, as a classical investor, you have to start to sit up. Wait, 15 times? That's kind of interesting. It's reporting this week as I record this. So if you're listening to this a little bit after the report, you'll already know what they've done. Is it, you know, going to disappoint again? We don't know. It's been beating, but there's some, you know, there's been changes in management. They banned corporate jet travel. When you hear companies banning corporate jet travel, when they've had the jets for like decades, you know something's going on. I'm going to watch the estimates on this one because while it appears cheap, it could be a value trap. And if those earnings are still going to decline and, you know, it's no longer a growth stock, well, one of the lessons of Nifty 50 is what I, you know, thought was going to always be a blue chipper and always have that growth may not. So I don't want to get caught in some kind of value trap play either with General Electric. And that's what the market is saying. That's why the shares are down, because nobody wants to get caught in the value trap here. So this is definitely one you should be watching to see what they're saying about the rest of the year and watch those earnings estimates. Just because it's, you know, it's one of the oldest Dow Jones industrial stocks doesn't mean it's going to exist forever in its current form. And all we need to do is ask Eastman Kodak, you know, how it feels about digital photography and, you know, Instagram. And I'm sure, you know, you'll hear an earful from them on all of that. So the fifth stock, though, is one that I find to be kind of interesting, and it's Disney, DIS. Year to date, the shares are down just 6%, but given where the stock market is and even the Dow, that's you know, really underperforming. 2-year return, it's down 10%. And if you'd told me a couple years ago that Disney would be down in the next 2 years 10% while the rest of the market is soaring, and they would have at least 2-3 of the biggest movies out there, you know, making billions of dollars, including in the Star Wars chain, and that these shares would still be down, I would not have believed you, really. I used to trade around 20 times because people were so bullish on the story at Disney. Now it's trading at 15 times. So again, that's is in the realm of the classical value. Earnings expected to be flat to up only 1% this year, so almost no earnings growth. Next year, rebound of 11%, but those estimates have been being cut by the analysts over the last 90 days or so. So a couple things with Disney are the ESPN issues, content wars in general with Netflix and Amazon, plus the other Hollywood studios, and then wage increases. You don't think about wage increases with the Disney parks and all the people that they employ there. But again, as the job market remains tight, people are going to be raising salaries and wages to compete and get workers. So that could be an issue with Disney going forward as well. It's something to watch with every company, obviously. But a lot of these companies that have, you know, in the service side, restaurants and all of that, are going to face this issue. So Disney is definitely one as a value investor I'm keeping on my watch list. I liked them before when they were trading at 20 times and I thought they were too expensive, but now kind of interesting as well. So I'm going to be listening in to see what they say this earnings season. So let's recap a couple of these growth stocks that have fizzled that could be values. A few look like they're values, but could be value traps too, but they're ones to keep on the watch list. So the first one is Chipotle, CMG. Then we had Ulta, ULTA. Then we had Under Armour, UAA. General Electric, GE is the ticker there. And then we had Disney, DIS. So far, none of the fangs have fizzled. So those are still going strong. So I'm not including any of those on the fizzling list. But these are a good thing to watch. And as I said, the Nifty 50 kind of shows us that, you know, growth stocks, while we all love them, it's hard to maintain those growth levels. And at some point, they usually do fizzle. Doesn't mean they're a bad company whatsoever, because some of the big name ones that we love right now have fizzled over the last couple decades, including McDonald's, actually. So it's always good to get stocks cheap, which is why we're all value investors, right? We want to get them cheap based on their earnings. So definitely keep that in mind when you're seeing all these people jumping in on growth stocks that are trading with really high valuations. This has all happened before. And, you know, there's always going to be the value out there eventually. We do have to have patience, however. Remember, keep in mind the patience. So remember, if you want to listen to all of our podcasts, we've had a couple good ones on about where you can find some value in the tech sector. That was just a couple weeks ago. You can listen to all of our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, which is on iTunes. And you can also subscribe on SoundCloud. We have our own channel on Apple Podcasts now. So if you just want the value investor, you can subscribe over there just for that. Or you can subscribe on the Zacks Market Edge podcast, also on iTunes, and get both of the shows there as well as on SoundCloud. So until next week, I'll see you then.